What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Saturday nights are where you get a menage a three with Josh Hadley, the cat.
Hello.
And the McMullen.
Thank you so much for having me.
You better not do that British thing all night.
Okay.
Are you offended by the British accent?
Offended? I could do this. No, annoyed, yes.
Oh, even better.
Oh, good God, what did I say?
This news in from Afghanistan.
You sound like a gay Russell Brand.
So Russell Brand, then?
Pretty much. Let's just get into, we kind of have a double.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This week. Have either of you ever not returned a video in the rental era, Blockbuster, Family Video, whatever? You just kept it?
No.
I think we've all got that one that was way unnecessarily late that haunts us. I know I have mine.
No, I've never have.
Were you ever late with one? Even if you didn't keep it, you didn't bring it back for 3 or 4 weeks or something?
Not really, no.
Oh, you're not making this fun. Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm a good person who plays by the rules.
There's Kat, all conscientious and returning shit on its due date.
Rub it in.
Fucking nerd.
Well, Kayla Michelle Finley of South Carolina just found out that shit can have real consequences. Back in 2005, she rented Monster in Law, the Jane Fonda, Jennifer Lopez movie. And she never returned it. Well, she went to report a crime, doesn't say what crime, and she found out that there's been a warrant for her arrest this entire time. So the police booked her on petty larceny for not returning the video from 9 years ago.
Yeah.
She should have been forgiven just because it was Monster in Law. They would have been like, well, God, if she's been watching Monster in Law for 9 years, God bless that soul. God, poor woman.
That's just gotta suck that has to be the movie that takes you down.
Yeah, it couldn't be like The Matrix or something cool. It's got to be Monster in Law.
Jane Fonda and Jennifer Lopez.
And this is going to end up costing her quite a bit. Apparently, the video store said that they sent her many certified letters, which she ignored, and so eventually the warrant was issued for her arrest. She was released on personal recognizance for $2,000 for this, and she will be going to court over Monster in Law. I don't know how I feel. Technically, yes, she broke the law. So she was wrong. She did steal this tape. And if the certified letters were actually sent, she's the one completely at fault here. But come on, it's a fucking video. Do you guys see where I'm kind of 50-50 on this?
I think the main
clincher for me is that the place she rented it from is no longer in business.
And hasn't been for years.
Like, who's even there to file that claim? Like, that's just ridiculous.
Who's going to get, let's say she gets a fine at the end of this. Who's going to get it? The county?
I mean, Blockbuster Video is not a government agency. I don't see how or why it would go to the county.
Well, this wasn't Blockbuster. This was some place called Dalton's Video, apparently like a mom and pop store. So they closed down years ago. So I don't know who would get the money and what would be the purpose of sending her to jail for Monster in Law.
Government quotas, I guess.
I feel like this is really just like a waste of everybody's time. There's no way that the money that's going to be spent by either party on this case is going to be worth it.
That's how I felt after watching Monster in Law.
Set tape.
That's how I felt after watching Monster in Law. This isn't worth anyone's time.
I think that what should happen now is remember, like, after the shooting in Aurora, Christian Bale visited the victims in the hospital. I think like a lower scale version of that where Jane Fonda and Jennifer Lopez try to raise the money to get her out of prison now. it would be like the thing in Aurora, only it's okay to joke about this.
Fair enough. I'm okay with that.
I knew you would be behind me on that.
Yeah, I'm for that.
That one I'm all right with. Now, the next one, I've had a criticism about this show. That people say I take on shitting on Republicans to a level that even Democrats can't agree with. Did you guys watch how the Fox Business Channel attacked the Lego movie for making corporations seem evil since corporations are the villain in that movie? Do I take shitting on Republicans to a ridiculous level, or do the Republicans kind of invite it?
You know, I could go either way on this one. Certainly this is one of those cases where, the Republicans are definitely earning the dump that is being taken on them.
Hey, at least we're not shitting in their mouth, right? That'll get us fired.
Is that what they did in the Lego movie?
Well, I'm sure that this ain't the Lego movie, a triple X parody will do that.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, Lord.
Fox News says the Lego movie is preaching bad ideals to children because it shows corporations as evil and them not having any kind of inherent value, and that individuality is what people should strive for. Seriously, this is like an Onion TV sketch, but not. Do you see my point?
I just think that they say this for every fucking movie that comes out. Like, definitely The Lorax was one where they did it, and anything that's remotely promoting of the environment, they say this kind of shit for. WALL-E was another one. So definitely, this is a case where, okay, yeah, I can kind of see where they're saying kids are being told that businesses are bad. Well, kind of, because the main villain is named Lord Business. However, this is really digging on like one per. Well, actually, no, really. I can really see where they're coming from with this one. That doesn't make them right because they're so dumb. It's not teaching kids anything because kids are too young to understand what the fuck Fox News is talking about. They don't see that.
Do kids really watch Fox Business Channel?
So it's like, okay. So technically what they're saying is true. There is a business corporation, huge corporation, that is trying to destroy the world, and that's bad. And that, you know, the Joe Schmo everyday hero type is with individualism and not following the business standard, blah, blah, blah. That's not the lesson they're trying to portray, but you could construe it as such. But children aren't going to take that lesson away. That's not what they're going to be talking about. Children are going to be like, buy me Legos, everything is awesome.
And they're going to be going, hey, Batman's in this.
Yeah, they're going to be is like, Batman. That's all kids care about. You're not teaching kids a bad lesson with this because kids aren't taking away the same lesson as the parents are.
I think the broader point would be to have kids that are not stupid enough to watch this movie and say, you know something, this CGI toy building block is making a lot of sense to me on an ideological level.
There's that.
Yeah, it's cool that Batman's in it, but listen to what they're really saying, like some Illuminati conspiracy theorist little kid.
Oh, so basically my kid?
Yeah, pretty much.
There is slightly a larger issue in this. Is let's say the Lego movie had taken the exact opposite stance and showed the corporation to be completely good and altruistic. Oh, almost kind of like the Clamp Corporation in Gremlins 2, how that was actually shown to be good in the end. Then would that not be seen as corporate indoctrination? Or am I reading way too much into a CGI Lego movie's message?
Since you brought up Gremlins 2 again on this show, I have to talk about it for a few minutes, so strap in, everybody.
All right, get settled.
In the case of the Clamp Corporation, Gremlins 2 kind of showed the corporation as bad, but the individual running it as a good person. So that was actually closer.
John Glover was amazing as Clamp.
John Glover was incredible as Daniel Clamp. I mean, that's kind of how that movie Trojan Horse, the same message. Corporations are bad, but individuals are good, so be an individual, if you wanted to put it in those terms.
God knows the last time I actually watched Gremlins 2, so I can't really talk about Gremlins 2.
You should watch it at least once a month.
Gremlins 2 is better than the first one. I'm one of those weirdos that's on record. I think it's better than the first film.
My monthly viewing of Gremlins 2. Sorry, I can't go to this event that my friend planned. I have to have my monthly viewing of Gremlins 2.
I'm jonesing!
Grandma, I know it's your 100th birthday. I don't know. I go back to my statement that kids aren't going to be taking away messages from this. We're not teaching them that corporations are evil. We're teaching them that Batman is awesome.
We're also teaching them that Fox News is reactionary over every little perceived slight against them.
Yeah, so the only way that your kid is going to take away an anti-business message is if you're some kind of Fox News junkie who is screaming at your children that they're not allowed to watch this movie because it teaches you business is bad. That's the only way your kids are going to take away that message.
You have to apply the same opinion retroactively all the way back to like Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, or every teen ski comedy where some developer wants to bulldoze the rec center or whatever.
Oh my god, I forgot about Breakin' 2. Thanks for putting that in my head, asshole.
Take it home with you, Josh.
Doesn't Ice-T breakdance in that?
I believe so.
All right, let's move on to the next kind of dumberish thing. I found this funny. Maybe I am a truly horrible person. Kraft Foods is demanding that a bar in Spokane, Washington stop offering a cocktail named Date Grape Kool-Aid. I think that's funny. People are like, oh no, it's minimalizing rape and it's endorsing rape. I'm sorry, it's a clever play on words.
I think it is kind of funny. That's just, it all depends on your sense of humor. If you are a corrupted individual,
was there an extra lull in there?
There was. Oh, I have so many problems. Anyway.
I used to sound that vivacious.
That's called a running joke, people.
Now, at some point in time, we could mention Mexican Hulks. That would be...
You mean like that?
Mexican Hulks!
We're done. It really does all depend on your sense of humor. There are people who just don't find anything funny at all, and they are sad people. And there are people who aren't very sad people who still aren't going to find that funny. We find it funny because we're terrible people. So it's really hard for us to go, well, it's fine because it's funny. But humor is all, it's all biased. Is it a good message for them to send? No. Is it a clever pun? Yes. Is Kraft probably doing the right thing? Whether or not they think it's fun matter, they're trying to protect their brand image. They're kind of in the right here.
Well, I mean, after, you know, Jonestown, this is not the worst thing that Kool-Aid has been associated with. You know, I mean, Jonestown was a lot worse than a specials menu at a bar. I also don't think people are really looking to their bar special menus for, you know, moral righteousness and everything. You have to be above older than 21 in order to go in, so that falls under the, you know, underage thing. I also think they missed a perfect opportunity when they could have called it statutory grape, because that would make two jokes in one, especially at a bar.
I just think that it's weird that this all came out of Spokane, because I have a lot of family who live in Spokane, and they're all the super religious part of my family that we don't really talk to that often because of the super religious thing. And it just doesn't seem to be like that's what they do in Spokane, because, you know, again, my image of Spokane is probably not a most accurate one.
Do you think, though, that it trivializes actual date rape, which is something that I think is a real problem? I don't believe this trivializes it. I think it's just making a clever pun. If one of the ingredients was a roofie, okay, that would be trivializing it. It's not, though.
Do I think it's appropriate? No, not by any means. If I were a bar, I certainly wouldn't want to put that on the menu. But again, as long as one of those ingredients isn't really something that's going to get you date raped, I mean, it's just kind of funny.
I think the same principle applies to any aspect of comedy. It's about a taboo subject, but it's allowable to me because it's funny. I'm a sucker for puns, though.
Oh, that's true. I love puns.
You are a punny guy. Let's move on into the area of gay punography. Okay, Charlie, last year you and I discussed Measure B, how all porn in Los Angeles, when that passed, has to use condoms. Doesn't matter anymore. No more barebacking. Apparently a big subset of the gay porn industry is barebacking. Gays don't like to see condoms, but to promote safe sex, Falcon Studios has decided to go the extra mile. California Dreamin' 1, when you name the first one 1, you are pretty much banking on sequels, but that's a hubris thing for a different discussion.
It's called foreshadowing.
Are we sure it's not foreskinning? California Dreamin' 1... they shot all the scenes in accordance with Measure B using condoms, and then digitally removed all the condoms in post to make it seem bareback. Now, my question is, huh?
Wait, what? Wait, now, so does the law say that you have to show using condoms, or just have to be filmed using condoms?
Filmed using condoms.
Oh, well then, hey, they're very cleverly getting around it, and good for them.
See, my issue is, I'm just picturing like a painted green condom so they can digitally remove it easier. I'm just picturing what the raw footage would look like. That would seem awkward, wouldn't it?
It would also save some poor post-production editor a lot of work. I think we can make a lot of money off chroma key condoms. I'm not against it. I think they're still within the limits of the law if they use condoms during production. If they want to CGI them out in post-production, that's fine. I think it'll be more realistic use of CGI than, like, Transformers, for example. But another thing that bugs me is that someone has to do this, that there are people out
there... Frame by frame.
Yes, there are people out there that refuse to buy a porno movie if they think condoms were used in the production. I think once you personally have reached that point, it's time to get help.
Well, I'm going to read a quote here. Director Tony DeMarco says that this film is meant to tap into fantasies of bareback sex in the 70s and 80s, while also aligning to the safe sex ethos that is currently being forced in L.A. With this movie, I really wanted to capture the essence of that time, when life seemed more carefree and spontaneous. In keeping with this concept, I felt that condoms needed to be addressed. The decision to go with this technique appears to strike a middle ground between Measure B and the porn industry's belief that scenes without condoms are a better sell with consumers, unquote.
That makes so much sense to me. That's pretty much what we're saying.
Okay, not being gay, is bareback sex from the 70s and 80s really a fantasy to, no pun intended, tap into?
How would I know?
I'm asking your opinion.
Kat, your thoughts on gay male sex?
From the 70s?
Well, hold on. Let me change my gender and get a time machine, and I'll let you know as soon as I've done both of these things.
The reason I wanted to talk about this was this is both innovative and stupid that they have to go this far, isn't it?
All I can do is just feel sorry for the person who has to do all of the editing. With the little green screen condom that they've got on. Just what the fuck?
Thrust by thrust, frame by frame. Those poor sons of bitches.
I wonder if California Dreamin' 1 will do better than California Dreamin' 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Gotta add that. It's gotta be... Electric Bangaloo?
You
gotta turn it somewhat pornish.
Electric Bangadude.
Electric Bangadude, yeah. California Dreamin' 2, Electric Bangadude. I can't follow that. You got anything, Kat, or we're just going to end
this? No, we're done. We're so done.
I'm spent. We'll be back after Heart.
You got me tied up inside. I'm your prisoner. Don't know where I can hide. I'm a prisoner. I'm captured by your love. I'll never try to run away. Caught from behind. Never knew before how love should feel.
Welcome to Heart Attack. I'm Hart D. Fisher, and of course, I've got Josh Hadley with me. He's just at a little low ebb. Josh has been having one hell of a fucked up week. Did you talk about your week at all on What the Fuck?
It hadn't happened yet. We recorded What the Fuck with Kat and Charlie on Sunday, so my week hadn't gotten this fucked yet before I recorded with you.
Oh, God. Wow. So if you folks want to hear how fucked up Josh Hadley's week has been, and a little bit of my own involving some more vandalism to my vehicle, you're going to have to go listen to Heart Attack number 4.
Knock that shit off, Hart.
And since Josh has had such a shitty, crappy, fucked up, crazy week, and we're recording on his birthday, I'm singing your birthday song again, and I'm hitting it right now. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, you grumpy son of a bitch, you. Happy birthday, Josh Hadley, and many more.
Mumble, mumble, grumble, gripe.
So you got two birthday songs out of me for the price of one goddamn birthday. That's how shitty your week has been. But we're going to get into something right now that could affect a lot of people.
It's
going to
make everybody's week shitty with what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, right now... I've been having lots of problems with my Time Warner cable. I've had problems with my Time Warner landline, having problems with my Time Warner internet connection. I've talked at length about this on my Facebook. If you guys want to find me, I'm on Facebook.com. And you can find us at Heart Attack Radio. You know, we're on there. Facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio. Comcast is getting ready to buy Time Warner. They're looking to merge with Time Warner Cable. What a horrible monopoly that would be, because the people that I've been talking to, including my own mother, have told me that Comcast is every bit as shitty and terrible as Time Warner service.
Time Warner and Comcast have the two lowest ratings in customer service of all cable and internet providers in the United States. So merging the two worst together, that can only mean something good, right, Hart?
Yeah, because, you know, when you take one pile of shit and you crush another pile of shit together, what do you get? A bigger pile of shit! And that's what we're talking about here, this stuff. And here's another real issue that I have here, is Comcast, aren't they owned by NBC and Universal, or is it vice versa?
No, it's the other way around. Comcast owns NBC. Comcast owns GE, which owns NBC Universal. So, yeah, they're all... It's all incestuous, and that's
it's pretty
where the
bad.
Danger. That think about this. This is shit people aren't thinking of. We're actually going to defend Fox News right now, Hart.
Uh-oh.
Okay, this merger goes through. They will have the largest TV controlling monopoly in the United States. They will have more customers than all of their other providers put together, all their other competitors. Okay?
And isn't Comcast one of the major internet providers that has been working with the government to spy on people?
Yes, they have. Time Warner's helped in that too. Now,
isn't Comcast part of the Six Strikes plan?
Yep, Comcast is very much behind that. Because they own Universal, they have interests in intellectual property theft.
But
think about this. They also own NBC. So now say they control the largest monopoly of cable TV viewers in America. That means they own MSNBC. Maybe they decide, you know what? Fox News is pissing us off. CNN's pissing us off. Maybe we're going to drop you from our 300 million customers, and we're only going to give our 300 million customers MSNBC. Or maybe Fox News and CNN start to have problems, Hart. But MSNBC comes in just fine. There's a major conflict of interest here, and for once, Fox News is not on the bad end of it.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that, because it's going to be an issue for me. You know, my horror channel, American Horrors, I want to be on regular cable someday down the road. You know, I want to have a broadcast television channel that goes out over the public airwaves. That's a goal of mine with what I'm doing with American Horrors. So this is something that is a major problem for me, one, as a business person, and two, as a consumer. Because like you said, you're talking about having the two shittiest companies in cable get together, and they would become the biggest company in cable, and it would be the shittiest company in cable, and they would have far too much power over what you watch and your content. You're very, very right that it'd be very easy, because I've noticed that there's certain shows like definitely FX. I'll tell you guys, on my Time Warner, out of all the shows I watch, for some reason I have the biggest trouble with it recording my shows on FX. And with recording shows on Fox, it has dumped a lot of the different programming. It'd be very easy for Comcast to have their DVRs not record that program that you want it to record. I have a major problem, my DVR not recording my programming. And frankly, folks, if I pay you for a service, if I pay for a pizza to be delivered to my fucking house, I want the pizza to show up at my house maybe the day I ordered it. Like, I'm paying for a service from Time Warner, and I'm not getting it. My shows are not being recorded on the service that I pay for. We don't own our DVRs, guys. We pay a rental fee. So when the DVR is not working, that means I'm not getting the service I paid for. That means the pizzas aren't showing up. And there's days where I don't have cable service, where the box just reboots itself on its own, and where my internet's out for a day, out for a couple hours. I don't know about you folks, but I can't afford a couple hours down from work every week or so. It's important for me to be connected. That's my business. So I've got real problems with the way they conduct their business over there. They do such a shitty fucking job. I was given a $40 discount over the phone, and I didn't get it. Now I'm going to have to take my time out to go and say, hey, you guys told me I was going to get a $40 discount over all these issues I've had with my service and the days of service I've missed. What's up? Now I got to spend more time to go get the discount they promised me for the time I lost?
Welcome to the beautiful customer service you can now expect from Time Comcast. Timecast.
Well, here's the thing. We can stop it, guys. This is another thing that if we make a big enough stink about, if we get out there and we make a big noise, just like we did with SOPA, just like we did with CISPA, just like we're doing right now with the Trans-Pacific Treaty, because on the full-length Heart Attack, we talk about how Obama officials are being bribed for how they're handling a Trans-Pacific Partnership Treaty.
It's not a bribe.
Oh, it was a bonus. Yes, they were bribed. Illegal. It was just a bonus.
A bribe is illegal. So when they legally take money to do a job, it's a bonus.
Well, I call it a friggin' bribe they're bought and paid for. This is a real problem. You need to speak up, America. You need to get online. You need to figure it out. You need to look it up. It's all right there. It's all easy. It's all easy to find. It's not hard to find these guys. We need to make a noise. We need to get online. We got to start letting people know, hey, you're supposed to represent me. I need you to represent my interests. And Comcast and Time Warner merging is bad for American business interests. It's bad for American consumers. It's bad for American businesses. Once they have a monopoly, they will jack up advertising rates. Once they have it all lined up.
Not
and
just that,
your cable rates are going to go up. It's bad enough, dude. It is bad enough that all my favorite shows on FX that I liked, all the my favorite comedies anyway, It's Only Sunny in Philadelphia, Legit, The League, all of a sudden they took everything funny off of FX and they started a whole new channel. I got to pay another $10 for it. And they did the same thing on the History Channel, where all of a sudden they took Ancient Aliens, one of the only shows left on the channel I watch, and all of a sudden it's on the new channel, and they want me to pay another $10 for History Channel too. And then all of a sudden now there's a new Fox Sports channel, so now if I want to watch my UFC fights, oh, I got to pay another $10 for that shit too. Well, fuck you! This is why people are leaving the cable industry. This is why people are going to the web. And this is why our government is trying to crack down on the web and figure out different ways to bill people for what they watch on the web, because they're leaving the cable industry because of things just like this.
There's also the fact of, look at the real-time jobs issue. When these two companies come together, they are going to reduce their workforce by 15%. So that means... they keep going, this is good for America. It gives us a monopoly. We have terrible customer service already, and we're going to be laying off a bunch of people. And they're going, but it's good for America, Hart.
I didn't even think about that part, Josh. And that's then, right. When they merge these companies, they're going to purge, and they're going to fire a bunch of people. So how is that merger good for America?
Now, think about this, though. Look at how, let's say they make a deal with Netflix. Well, Netflix will now have more access to American homes than ever before. Verizon has been making a lot of stink about trying to start up their own version of Netflix. Well, that would then be a competitor. They could be like, you know what? We're not going to carry you on our service, or you're going to get that slowed down service. This is why net neutrality is so important.
Yes, that's exactly right, Josh. This is why we already know that AT&T is developing and trying to patent software that allows AT&T to know everything you're doing and to watch it all. What AT&T wants to be able to do is they want to go, you know what? We're going to charge you extra money for your Netflix on-demand account. We're going to charge you extra money for your movie downloads. Or are you spending a lot of time on YouTube watching babies singing Prince songs? Ha, we're going to charge you for that too. Are you downloading a lot of stuff? Are you downloading a lot of music? Oh, well, we're going to put an extra fee on your downloads of that content. They're looking for new ways to bill us into the effing ground. And if Comcast and Time Warner merge together, it's not just about the cable. These guys are internet service providers, and they're also going to have that same shitty internet service, and they're also going to want to use AT&T's new trick, and they're also going to want to bill you for all those on-demand services you're using on the web for free right now. They want to be able to up the price on everything and bill you into the ground.
Door. I'm the girl that you've been waiting for. Hello, Sally.
All right, since we're not talking about Monster in Law and banging dudes, let's get a little bit more serious with some bullshit that's going on. Let's stick with, because we ended with gay porn, let's stick with gay. Did you guys see that Idaho is basically trying to criminalize being gay in a roundabout way? Because they can't do it direct. They have to do it from behind.
I see what you did there.
Yes.
What basically happened is Representative Lynn Luker, of course she's a conservative Christian, she outlined a proposal that would basically say, if you as a doctor, a pharmacist, an ambulance driver, a fireman, police officer, whatever, if you have deep-rooted religious problems with homosexuality, you would, assuming this law passes, you would be able to legally refuse services to a gay or a lesbian person, or even someone you suspect of. Say your house is on fire. The fire truck driver drives up, and he's like, oh, you've got a gay pride flag out in front of your house. You know what? That offends me deeply on a personal level. I don't have to put the fire out. On your own, faggot. That's what this would mean. Before we get into the meat of the issue and some disturbing fucking quotes.
This fits the criteria of every argument I've ever heard against gay marriage or even homosexuality. There is not one argument against it that does not use religion to generate hate. This is living into every stereotype I've ever had about anti-gay people. No way to be against it without it having being based on religious hate. And this is another example of that. Kind of makes me throw up a little bit.
I throw up a lot. I'm trying to remember the exact language that they use, because I thought it said something about there would be no repercussions if you refused service. So it was basically saying, if you're a doctor and you refuse to treat somebody, like, say, in a hospital, they couldn't take your license away for refusing to treat somebody if it violated your religious beliefs. That is, of course, all by way of saying you can refuse service to somebody if they're gay. I mean, that's what the real intention is.
But, Kat, there's also part of one of those provisions in this. Employers would not be prohibited from firing workers who violated workplace policies in this. In my opinion, they're doing this in a smart way for them. For as stupid as this is, they're being smart about it. Like you pointed out, they, you know, a doctor could not lose his license or whatnot, but the hospital could still go, well, you didn't treat the gay person, so you're fired. In a way, they're pretending like they're being very fair about this. Did you notice that as well?
Yeah, they're definitely doing a lot to ensure that if you are going to discriminate based on your religious beliefs, that you will not in any way be punished, because equality is very bad, as if you're gay. Anything else, like if this were any other fucking thing, we would not be allowed to do this because it would be just completely unconstitutional, which this is. This is absolutely unconstitutional. But so, like, if you were allowed to say, well, I don't like them because they're black and their blackness violates my religion, you know, yada, 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 then we wouldn't allow it because it's discriminatory and it's unconstitutional. But because it's gay, you can fit the whole religious aspect into it and you can, you know, figure out a way to work around it. And it's bullshit and it's disgusting.
The same could not be said for a Muslim doctor who doesn't think people of the Christian faith apply to his God, so he can't refuse to treat them based on his religious beliefs.
Oh, yeah, this is only aimed at Christians being allowed to discriminate.
Which makes you think the obvious answer would be have more gay doctors to refuse to treat Christians, but a lot of gay doctors wouldn't do that because a lot of gay people actually are Christian.
Well, let's get into some quotes then. The sponsor of the bill, Luker, quoting here, this is preemptive. The issue is coming whether it's 10 years or 15 years or 2 years. The free expression of religious freedom is no longer understood for what it was intended. There's a double standard against people of traditional religious faiths, unquote. What she is basically saying is we as Christians are being attacked by gay people. It offends us on such a level that we feel we have to make a law that equalizes us with gay people.
Mm-hmm. Quote, unquote.
Which sort of seems like that was the law that made gay marriage legal. That was the equalizer.
To them, yes. To them, how dare gays have the same rights as a Christian? I'm offended at that.
When you look back, is the representative that's proposing this bill, Lynn Luker. I don't think that's female. If I remember reading the story correctly, I think that's a dude.
I just assumed female because I don't meet too many guys named Lynn, but okay.
No, it's a dude. It's a dude.
Oh, yeah.
That makes it so much worse somehow. This is just the most hateful shit that's come along since...
Oh my god, this guy was probably bullied and called a fag a lot in school.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, I could totally see the process of, you have a girl name, you're gay, blah, 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 instilling a deep hatred of gay people.
We will not have better laws until we have better lawmakers.
Like I said, as disgusting as this is, I think that they are very smart in how they're doing this by not just trying to push it through as, we hate gays. The fact that they put in the provisions that said, oh, well, there are still some repercussions, makes it seem more reasonable than it is. That's a very smart tactical move on their part. That's the part that worries me is, these are not your Fox News Republicans. These guys are smart. That makes them more dangerous, I think.
Like, even more hateful. It's just, it's so horrible. The whole, we're being persecuted because we're Christians is bullshit. Your freedom of religion does not mean that you get to discriminate against other people because they don't agree with your religion or their lifestyle doesn't agree with your religion. It's so hard to for people who are so set in their ways to try and fathom that it's okay that people don't behave the same way they do.
Jillian and I a couple of months ago discussed, I don't remember what state it was, but of course it was the South. This one district pushed through a bill that would allow the limited teaching of religion in schools. So obviously they meant Christianity. Well, a teacher said, you know what, I'm calling your bluff, and started teaching the Quran. All of a sudden they were, no, 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 no. When we said religion, we meant Christianity. That's the way these people think. Christianity is the only real religion. Because I think going back to Charlie's example, if a Muslim tried to turn this around, it would be seen as trying to institute Sharia law. If a Muslim congressman put this through, it'd be seen as Sharia law. Christians are doing it. We're standing up for our rights.
What's the scariest part about this is that it doesn't just apply to private companies, privately owned businesses. It applies to state workers. So when you think about that, it's just so frightening to know
that. To just think that a cop could say, you're gay. I'm not going to protect you.
Right. So if it's like, you know, the schmutzy business guy who, you know, whatever, you know, like the guy who we were talking about last week who owns his own restaurant and, you know,
by the way, I have an
like
update on that.
Oh, really?
I have a really funny update on that because of the fallout, because you can type anything you want on Yelp. People are pegging him as a gay bar and saying that gays should go there for a really fun time. And he has been inundated with homosexual clients.
That is
yes.
So beautiful.
The internet wins again.
So anyway, you can have a guy like that, and it's his own private, you know, business, and he can, you know, say, I don't want these people in my restaurant. But for somebody who's being paid by the state, who is there to protect the people of that state, like a cop or a fireman, to be given the power to discriminate is really frightening. Because we're talking about lives at risk. So this isn't just I don't like Christians and I don't want them to, or sorry, I don't like gay people and I don't want them to have the same rights as me. This is, I can put their lives in danger and I can kill them by proxy. I could get rid of them and eliminate the problem if we all just decided that, you know, we're all don't want to put up with their shit.
What it would basically do is it would create a modern Jim Crow for gay people in Idaho.
It's absolutely the beginnings of segregation being reintroduced into this country, saying, you know, you could have every fucking establishment in the whole state decide that they don't want to serve any homosexuals or whatever. And then you would have to start having places that are just meant for those people. And then we're all back to, here's your colored water fountain and here's your white people water fountain. It's so frightening to be in this situation where we could be going back in time, you know, 60 or so years to having a level of segregation in this country. It's so scary to think about.
I don't think I have much to add. I would like to tell lawmakers that you can't just flat out unabashedly pitch hate without the wrong people agreeing with you. I mean, I can't see how this law would sway anybody. I mean, whoever would refuse service to a dying gay person as a doctor because they don't agree with their lifestyle, they would do it whether it was legal or not legal.
It just would be a little more open this way.
Same thing with cops. I mean, cops have been doing it to black people since always. So I don't think whether or not it's a law is going to stop anybody. Someone's going to hate you because you don't agree with their religion, then they're going to hate you.
Well, since Lynn Luker is in Congress, you guys are familiar with the term cronyism, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, North Carolina seems to be having a big deal with cronyism right now. North Carolina's governor is a Republican named Pat McCrory. There's a place called Duke Industries that keeps spilling toxic coal ash into the rivers. And every time citizens groups try to sue using EPA laws, now see, the way the law is written is you have to give 60 days notice before a citizens group sues a company, at which time the state attorney general can step in and say, no, we think we'll take over and this is now a criminal case, therefore nullifying the civil case. The state has done this 3 times against Duke Industry, where the state has come in and overruled the citizens' request. Always at the last moment, too, 1 or 2 days before the 60 days is up. And the state does nothing. Kind of surprising that Pat McCrory used to be CEO of Duke Industries before he ran for governor.
It is not.
Is this not the problem with cronyism? He's looking out for his former employer, who I'm sure he still gets a kickback for, and saying, fuck the environment! Duke is good! Coal ash is good! So it kills everything it touches. What's wrong with that? Even this being exposed, McCrory's response is basically, can't do anything about it. You know, mm-hmm. I technically don't work for them anymore. And, the state does what it can. What do you guys think about this McCrory thing before we get on to cronyism in general?
It's a horrible situation. It's just tying everything up in red tape so that what needs to get dealt with doesn't get dealt with because somebody is going to lose money. And it's absolutely awful because every time the environment loses. And not to be that tree-hugging hippie here, but we've only got one planet. And the more we ignore the planet, we're not going to have a planet much longer.
It's not Earth Day, Kat.
Sorry. But this is a big deal because this is a water supply, which we've, just been hearing about all over the news about the dangers of throwing
West Virginia
shit
just had that.
into people's water supplies. This is a bad thing. And especially right now, after that whole debacle that's been all over the news lately, this is a really good time to take responsibility for dumping stuff into the water. You want to score some points with people and pick up your image and look like a good company, at least pretend to give a shit about the environment.
Because look what that did for BP. I was totally convinced.
Have you seen their new commercials where they're all committed to the environment?
They actually screamed at my TV.
Oh my God.
I screamed at my TV when I saw one of those. I was like, you're just literally going, yeah, forget what happened 3 years ago. Didn't happen.
They're trying really hard. You almost got to give them credit for how hard they're trying. And then
I think it's hard to listen to a story like this and not just think that the human race has fucked up too many times and that anything that will wipe us all out sooner is okay.
But do you think that cronyism is the problem here? Do you think that, say, Pat McCrory worked for a competitor to Duke? Do you think he would have allowed this to go through or maybe still superseded and gone after them harder? Do you think this is just one company being given a pass? Or is cronyism a bigger problem? Look at Katrina. Michael Brown, the head of FEMA during Katrina, you know how ineffectual he was? Yeah. Do you know why he was appointed to the head of FEMA? His credibility up to that point, all he had done was hosted and promoted horse shows.
Yes, that is correct.
So why did that qualify him for FEMA? He was George Bush's roommate in college. Cronyism. Now we've got the same thing happening with Obama right now.
Oh yeah, I was wondering if we were going to bring this up.
It goes into cronyism, yes.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
Oh, cronyism is not just a Republican thing. This happens to Democrats just as much. Obama is appointing a bunch of ambassadors to various countries. Three of them, three of his last seven appointees have never even set foot in the country that they want to ambass. Is that even a word? I don't know. If it's not, I just made it up.
Ambassadorize, I think.
Ambassadorize?
Yeah, ambassadorize, that's it. You might be asking yourself, well, why would he pick these people if they don't know anything about the countries they want to ambassadorize? They've never been there, and most of them have no interest in being there. Well, let's see. Of the three, each one of them has raised at least $750,000 for his reelection campaign last time around. Little bit of cronyism. I mean, hell, the ambassador, that's person he's trying to become the ambassador to Argentina, not only has not set foot in the country, doesn't speak a word of Spanish. You know, the spoken language of Argentina.
You know, Argentina doesn't bother me nearly as much as the guy that they're sending to China, who's never been to China and that's admitted that he doesn't know a lot about China. And we're like, China is kind of an important country.
Kinda,
just a little.
It's like a footnote at this point.
Like our Lord and Master China, who's gonna own our country in a couple of years. You know, it might be important to send somebody over there who actually knows something.
Max Baucus, I'm quoting, "I'm no real expert on China." Unquote. Yeah, he's the one I should. He's the one I see going, right?
Isn't a real expert on China the one thing you have to be the ambassador?
You'd think.
I wish. God, wouldn't it be nice?
And then we've got the idiot for Norway that he just literally sits there. Have you ever been to Norway? No. What do you know about Norway? My silence there was intentional, people. That was his response. So basically it's, you people raised a shit ton of money. I owe you. Let's give you some token positions where you don't really have to do anything. So cronyism, I think, is a major issue. And it's not partisan issue. It's not a Republican thing. It's not a Democrat thing. Cronyism is something that we have to stop, or we as a country, I think, are dead.
Because this isn't like, here, I'm going to make you the secretary of some schmutzy guy. These are really important positions.
Corey! Now, I'm going to make that man my secretary of partying down!
This isn't like you're what is it? Like, they always have some athlete who is there to promote health or whatever. This isn't like that. These are ambassadors to countries that we have really legitimate relationships with. Argentina, it's kind of important. Norway, I guess that's pretty important. But China, I mean, China's a big deal. This is where I just fucking lose my mind over this, because this is China. This is the next big superpower in the world, and we're giving it to a guy who's never even been there, who doesn't know, he's not a China expert. How can you possibly justify that?
Because he raised $1.5 million for Obama's reelection campaign. That's how Obama justifies it.
Yeah, but don't you have billions of dollars in debt to China?
Don't you have to be approved anyway?
But, so which is why the Republicans are having fun with this, because they're going, ah, finally we get to show Obama's people being stupid.
Yeah, so at least, you know, hopefully the guy for China won't get approved, because let's actually bring in somebody who knows anything about it before we send him to the country that we are going to have huge, huge issues with in the next couple of years.
I'm a little disappointed that Obama does it too. Not surprised, because he's a politician.
It shatters the illusion for you?
Kind of, a little bit. It's like finding out Mickey Mantle corked his bat or whatever. I don't know. I think it's always going to exist as long as there are shitty people. And I think there's always going to be shitty people in positions of power to even have the option of cronyism in the first place. But only shitty people are the people that want it enough to go through the elections. And first of all, they have to be rich. You ever heard of anyone who financed their own campaign?
Yeah, I did, and I believe he lost back in the 90s.
Steve Forbes, you're right.
Well, no, that's not who I was talking about. I'll vote for a third party. Go ahead and throw your vote away.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. I don't want to say his name, so.
I know. I voted for him in 2000. My bad. No, I mean, I just think cronyism is a shitty part of politics that's always going to exist, because no one who is in politics would ever want to change that. Because why would you? When you have power, you can exercise that over people that you want something from. It's human nature, and humans kind of suck, but we don't have any other option right now.
My thing is that cronyism never ends well. look at Michael Brown. If a real person who had federal emergency management experience, you know, like the FEM and FEMA, had been head of FEMA, I think Katrina would have turned out way differently. Think about it like this. Katrina is one of the reasons that the Republicans lost the following election because of the fallout from Katrina and the cronyism. Now, say George Bush had appointed an actual person that could do the job. That could have turned the tide on them. Think about it like that, that cronyism hurts you in the long run, even your own isolated party. Or am I reading way too much into that?
No, it has legitimate consequences that we don't think about. And certainly the people who are participating in cronyism and appointing people to positions they're not even remotely qualified for are not thinking about the long-term consequences. So when you put someone in charge of FEMA who doesn't know anything about actually responding to a federal emergency, of course, lives are at stake. This is another thing. Lives are at stake. And this whole thing with China, this is just, I can't get over this whole thing with China, is China, if we're going to go to war with another country, we could easily go to war with China.
It's most likely, if we go to another war, it's either going to be a Muslim nation or China. It's a short list.
It would be easier for China to go to war with us.
At that point, does it matter, really matter who started it?
No, not really.
Since I'm all against cronyism, I guess I really can't ask either of you where I can find people. Like the cat, you know, are you a crony because I pimp your website and Nerd to the Third? I don't know.
I don't think that's, I think that's being friends, but it's such a fine line right there.
Well, where can people find the cat?
You can find me on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and on Facebook at NerdistCat. And you can also find me over on thatguywiththeglasses.com on my other show, Nerd to the Third Power, under the podcast tab.
Charlie, you're absolutely a crony. Where are you?
Why the fuck else would I even be here?
Well, yeah. And you are severely underqualified, too.
Oh, yeah. You could find literally anybody to do a better job than I am. But thank God for cronyism. You can find me pretty much everywhere you find Josh because of all the fucking cronyism going around. GeekJuiceMedia.com. You can find me on Twitter at Charlie McMullen, Facebook, and somewhere, we don't even have a home for it yet, but within the coming months, you will hear me on the new podcast with John Brown called John and Charlie Save America.
And you can find me, geekjuicemedia.com, 1201beyond.com. Contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Try and have a good night, guys. And if you're not a crony, email me at 1201beyond.com. Maybe you can become one.
I did it.
Swear! What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.